A barking deer calling in the thick jungles of Borneo. If it weren't for the muffled roar of traffic in the background, the deceit would be perfect. In fact, it was only the sound of a barking deer. The man making the sound is a Swiss from Basel, Bruno Manzer. He learned this deception during his six-year stay in the jungles of Borneo, the adopted son of the people known as the Penan. During his 6 years in Borneo, Manzer became an outspoken champion of the Penan in their fight against the government and logging interests. His criticism and his participation in demonstrations by the Penan to disrupt logging activities made him a hunted man. The authorities put a price of $25,000 on his head. All this notoriety was the last thing Bruno Manzer wanted. In 1984, at the age of 30, he arrived in Borneo wanting to live his own life, but he wound up fighting for the lives of the Penan who had taken him into their homes. He wanted to mind his own business and found himself in a battle against the powerful logging barons of Borneo. He wanted to live peacefully in nature and found himself an outraged witness of its destruction. Bruno Manzer could not help but become involved. He became a kind of hero in spite of himself. He's been called the Robin Hood of Borneo, but because of his Swiss background, it's probably more suitable to describe him as a latter-day William Tell. Comparisons like this make Bruno Manzer smile. He would be the first to admit that he's far from heroic. He was just defending something he felt was just as much his as the Penan's. Bruno Manzer is of medium height, well-muscled and lean. He's soft-spoken and gentle in appearance. A pair of round, wire-rimmed glasses make him look more like a student or a teacher. He bears the scars of jungle life, the most noticeable being a slight limp. This is the result of a bite from a red-tailed pit viper, a highly poisonous serpent. Normally, such a bite means certain death for the victim, but Manzer survived thanks to a quickly self-applied tourniquet. The poison, however, destroyed the muscle in his leg. For a man who loves nature, what better place to get together than in nature? A little square of nature in the concrete jungle that is downtown Basel.
We're sitting in a park. The chestnuts are in bloom. Lilacs are just showing their first colors across the way. I know you've only been back a short time, but have you found it difficult to readjust?
The most difficult thing are my eyes. I have trouble to adjust to the bright light. I normally wear sunglasses now. It's also now it hurts me, the light. It's a different light in the jungle.
More subdued.
It's always a bit of reddish light, even if you're outside or if you're in the sun. But normally in the jungle, you're always beyond the trees. You're always in the shadow.
The bright light of notoriety has also been somewhat overwhelming for Bruno Manzer. Since his return from Paradise Lost, Manzer has been kept on the go, keeping interview commitments and answering the same questions over and over. The most frequently asked question is perhaps this one.
Why did you go?
It was my wish to live, to make first-hand experience and to live together with some human beings or tribe which still lives in harmony with nature. This is to say, a tribe which lives self-sufficient, all they need they find in nature or they work. In Switzerland we also had this in the past, but such people you don't find it anymore in Europe.
Bruno Manzer had made an earlier attempt to find that simple, self-sufficient life close to nature here in Switzerland. In the 70s, he rejected the idea of continuing school and went to the mountains of Canton Graubünden.
I got enough from sitting in the school and just read the experiences of other people and to chew the experiences of other people. I want to make a first-hand experience. I want to live it. I just worked in summertime on the Alps. This is to say the farmers of a village, they give all their cows or their sheep on the Alps, and there I worked for the farmer. For the pharmacist is to say to milk the cows and to make cheese and butter, and afterwards I was just a simple shepherd.
He also learned various skills such as carpentry, weaving, spinning, and woodworking. It was an alternative lifestyle for Bruno Manzer. he doesn't consider himself to be a dropout.
I don't know what the dropout should be. Of course, my ways, I didn't follow the convention. I mean, other people, they have the free, the liberty to do what they like, but I also like to choose my own ways.
You've certainly done what a lot of people dream of doing, it's maybe once or twice in their life, that is giving up the materialistic values and returning to what you would describe as a primitive self-sufficiency. Why did you decide to go to Borneo and not to, say, the jungles of the Amazon?
Well, I mean, there are not... I had to choose between the Amazon and Borneo, and after all I read in university libraries, then I decided for Borneo, for it's somehow a unity. It's an island, you can look over it somehow. Of course, if you're there, it's also quite a big space if you think to walk on foot over the whole island, but the Amazon is such a big thing, and also from Borneo, I just got information about these Penan tribes. There was just a little picture and no information at all. And so that was, when I saw this, then it was clear for me, I want to meet these Penans.
How familiar were you with the culture, the language, and the lifestyle of the Penan before you went?
Of course, as familiar as when I've been sitting there in the university library and just saw the picture. I didn't know anything about their lifestyle, I didn't know language, I didn't know anything.
So Bruno Munzer, the student, set out for Borneo to get a few lessons in the school of life and to study the Penan. He planned to go for 2 or 3 years. He stayed 6. During that time, he brought all his enthusiasm as an amateur anthropologist and ethnologist into play.
I already knew before I went that I really want to join the life of such a tribe, to learn its language, to learn about their religion, about their handicraft, about the way to get the food, about everything.
What was it like when you first made contact with them?
Of course, the Penan, they have been afraid, for I came from totally from mountainous jungle, very difficult terrain. Even the Penan themselves, they don't go hunting up there, for it's too dense, the vegetation. And I met with just 2 families living alone there, quite far from other people. So they have been very shy. And of course, I couldn't say anything. I just could say, oh, my name is Bruno and I'm coming from that settlement. That's all I could say to them.
In Penan?
Yeah.
In their language?
Yeah. And then slowly, every word, I think that's that. Then I write it down, and every evening when I'm in my hammock, I read all the words, so I quickly learn a language.
How big is the group of Penan who still live the primitive life?
There are just about 200 persons, about 60 families, which are pure nomads.
And those were the people you were living with?
Yeah, but there are quite also settlements of other nomads they got in the last 20 years. They got settled.
Once Bruno Munzer settled in with the Penan, he was given several nicknames. To call someone by his or her real name, he says, is the same as hitting that person. So he was known as the Big Man, or the Penan Man, or the Orphan.
That's the hard life in the jungle. You always have to go out to find your daily food. If you just hang around like we do it sometimes here, then you won't get your food.
Survival, part of the everyday life in the jungle. It was a fact of life that Bruno Munzer had to learn, and quickly.
Let's say if I take as example a hunting day, then you will wake up before daybreak, or at daybreak, and you directly take your blowpipe and you go to the jungle.
Did you always come back with something?
Oh no. Well, I may say, just to use the blowpipe, that's not such a problem, you can learn it quickly. But the problem is to learn hunting, to follow the tracks, and also to be very, like a wild cat when you go and the monkeys mustn't see you, they mustn't hear you, that's the problem.
What did you hunt for?
Everything you meet in the jungle which is edible. Birds, squirrels, monkeys, barking deer, the deer, wild boar. You quite often meet with barking deer, so if you don't see them or you think some could be around, so you can imitate a call of the barking deer. And
how do you do it?
You just take a leaf, you put it together, and then you your sack, so it gives a vibration. Yeah. Maybe it won't come to barking you, but the bear who is hungry over there.
What about monkeys and birds?
Monkeys. Oh, yeah, you can imitate. Oh, that's true, but you make it more for fun if you see one of your brothers or your friends hunting there or walking there. So you don't call him, but then you imitate the voice of a short-tailed monkey, for example. And this sounds a bit like this. There are just some few birds the Penan use to imitate. One of these birds is the rhino bill. This sounds a little bit like that. Oh, that's a very nice thing. If you really get the prey, which is important, it means a big prey. This is a barking deer or a wild boar. Then you can announce that you got the prey and what kind of prey you got. So all the people who stay in the settlements, they will know from far, and then the children already, they come and say, oh. And after this, you look for some leaves, you put the leaves there, and then you put the prey on it, and then you catch it. And then the women normally, they divide, or even the men, whoever, then it will be divided between all families equally. And afterwards, every family, they will cook their food and they will joke and will invite you to eat here and to eat there. And afterwards, maybe one takes his flute and plays on his flute or...
Did you learn how to play the flute as well?
I have my own flute, which I'm more familiar. I have trouble with the nose flute. It needs quite experience, so maybe you have to have a Penan nose. The music is a bit like poem. When they play the flute, it's not just dreaming or like this, but they say something with the flute.
What about songs?
Songs, of course, they also make their little songs. Kiwot, kiwot, ikodarut. Kali ketian saolaman kiwot kiwot ikodarut kali ketian saolaman.
It sounds as if it was the ideal life you were looking for. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say it has something like we think paradise, but it's not as romantic. Everything has two sides.
In this case, the other side is the threat to this jungle paradise by logging activities, which are rapidly destroying the natural home of the Penan.
These people, they are the original inhabitants of these jungles. They have been living there for hundreds of years. And now these companies, they come just for a few years and they destroy everything and they leave. And the Penan who stay back, they don't have enough food. It's destroying really their basic needs.
Aware of the risks if he got involved on behalf of the Penan, Bruno Manzer went ahead anyway, and subsequently became a fugitive with a price on his head.
I knew that I would get into trouble with government and with the companies if I really helped them. In fact, the only thing I could do was to bring all these different tribes together to a meeting and let them speak what they want. And then I played the secretary, that I wrote it down in a declaration from them to the government.
But nothing happened?
Nothing at all.
How did you like your role, though, as a kind of leader, as a hunted man, in fact?
Oh, who would like it? I hate it, of course. I mean, I didn't went to Borneo to make politics or to get involved in all this stuff. I'm just happy when I see a rare animal and I can draw it or try to hunt like a Penan and look at the different fish in the water. That's my enthusiasm. That's what is fascinating me. This whole struggle, this is just, you lose time, you get tired, and And it's a danger for you.
Getting back to your studies now, your anthropological studies, you made many drawings, you made many notations about what you saw, the taste of things, the appearance of things. Are these useful, do you think, to ethnologists here in Europe? Has anybody expressed interest? Have you offered these drawings and these notations to people who might be interested?
I don't yet have the time to care about all this for... The struggle now is the most important thing, for it's a question of time. Of course, if there would be no struggle, I would now be at home and I would write, and I have lots of notebooks. Of course, all these things, they have worth, I know it. But also a lot of my work got confiscated by the police.
Bruno Monzer has not been alone in his fight on behalf of the Pennon and their homeland. The Worldwide Fund for Nature, Greenpeace, and the Swiss branch of the Society for Threatened Peoples were already active when Monzer arrived in Borneo, but they too had little effect. As for Monzer, he feels he can do more good here in Switzerland, trying to protect what's left of a rapidly diminishing jungle paradise.
I know that here in outside worlds, people and maybe even politicians, they will listen, at least listen to what they have to say, and maybe from outside, when other people can talk to the Serakian government, maybe the government in Serak can get conscious about the real situation there.
And then maybe Bruno Monzer will be able to return to his adoptive families and his simple life in harmony with nature. This is Paul Suffren. My thanks to sound engineer Kurt Bischoff for helping produce this program. You're listening to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
Rainforest, mist and mystery, teeming green. Green brain facing the bottom. Climate Control Center for the World. Ancient court coexistence hacked by parasitic greedhead scam. From Sarawak to Amazonas, Costa Rica to mangy BC hills, cortege rhythm of falling timber. What kind of currency grows in these new deserts, these brand new floodplains? Species every single day. Take out people who've lived with this for 100,000 years. Inject a billion burgers worth of beef. Grain eaters. Methane dispensers. Through thinning ozone, fall on wrinkled earth, gravity, light, ancient refuse of stars, speak of a drowning. But this is something other. Busy monster eats dark holes in the spirit world, where wild things have to go to disappear.